Hello and a warm welcome to this week's episode of the PPC Chat Roundup. In today's episode, we have Julie taking us on another great, but this time very timely topic. So recently, we've been talking about new metrics that we're seeing in Google Ads. The one that comes to mind is the prominence metric that it was Greg Finn's Twitter profile who I saw this from, and he was talking about what prominence is about, and I'll be going into more about that later on. And we're just talking about what that means, about what Google is planning for the future. Do we understand these metrics? Does it mean something for what they're planning on bringing, on sunsetting altogether in the future? And just literally, what is our standpoint on how things are just ever changing and the moving points of what good performance is. So the actual title of our podcast today is The Moving Goalposts of Google Ads in 2024, because it looks like that is going to change even more than we've been seeing last year. And this looks like, even though that I feel like this year it's been a little bit slow, not as many changes by this time of the year like we had in 2023, but still major changes coming up this year. So we're going to talk a bit about that today. So yeah, hope you sit back and enjoy. Hello and a warm welcome to this week's episode of the PPC Chat Roundup, a podcast where I round up the Slack discussion that happens on Tuesdays at 5 p.m. GMT. I'm your host Anu, and I'm recording from my studio here in London, UK, and I use this platform to share not just expert but also my ideas and considered best practices about paid media and the direction the digital industry is going in. So if you want to keep up to date with my tips and tricks in industry and get the latest on the podcast that has been called your go-to if you don't make it to the PPC Chat live discussion, then you can find me on LinkedIn on my name Anu Adegbola, or just go to the marketing, search for the marketing Anu even. There's also a LinkedIn group that you can join, which is the PPC Chat Roundup. Or if you're on Instagram, why don't you check us out at PPC Chat _ Roundup to get quotes and snippets from previous episodes. Yeah, so this week it was quite a free-flowing discussion, only 4 questions that were talked about, but really loads of thoughts shared about the moving goalposts of Google Ads in 2024 and how we've already had some new definitions as to what's going on. Now, this one again is very much opinion piece. Anyone can have an opinion about what's going on, whether you've been in the industry for a short period of time or a long period of time. So yeah, this chat is definitely intended for PPC professionals of all levels. And if you have something you want to share, please do. We are a friendly and supportive community. Please don't be afraid to participate, even if it's after the chat has happened. By this time, yes, it's yesterday that you'll see that the Slack chat actually happens. And because of how the questions are set, you can go into each thread and actually answer them. But if you're not bothered to do that and you just want to listen to me giving you the roundup of some of the amazing advice and thought processes our experts are going through, then welcome to another episode. Thank you for joining, and I hope you enjoyed what we share today. So yeah, let's get straight into the questions. There's loads of people that joined us today looking at Julie's first comment asking, you know, how people are doing. We have Dwayne Brown in the chat, as well as Julia Weiss. Dagar Thomas joins as well as Robert Brady and Nava Hopkins. Melissa McKee as well joins, and I believe Riva Minkoff and a few others join as well. So quite a few full house we had today. Before we even started off, Julie shared had changes to search ads metrics definitions, where there was definitions given for top ads, absolute top ads, prominence, which is the one that specifically I mentioned earlier on about top and absolute top metrics, using segments in your tables, about target impression, share bidding, how to get your ads to show among top ads. And there's an article about that. So if you go to Google Ads help you and you just go to search for changes to search ads, actually this should have been an email that would have been sent to everybody that works on Google Ads. So yeah, that's something that should be in your inbox if you're a PPC manager yourself. One definition specifically that got our tongues wagging was especially the one about prominence, where prominence is defined as an estimation of your ad's visibility on the search results page. Things that affect prominence include ad position. So ads in higher positions have more prominence because people are more likely to see the ad. Generally, an ad gets more clicks as it moves to a higher ad position. Top ads are adjacent to the top organic search results, top ads are generally above the top organic results, although top ads may show below the top organic results on certain queries. Placements of top ads is dynamic and may change based on the user's search. And another thing that it includes is ad formats. Ads with ad formats have more prominence than ads without ad formats. What's an ad without an ad format? That is what confuses me. Anyway, we continue. Because formats generally draw more attention to an ad and increases clicks on an ad. So prominence is primarily measured by the average change in click-through rates from adding ad formats or moving to a higher position. The unique value of the interaction, such as a click from a click to call ad, can also contribute to prominence. So yeah, loads of things that can contribute. Several things can contribute to prominence, whether it's things we understand or we don't understand. Lots that I did understand there. So yeah, so Julie, based off that and several other metrics in that email that we had, Julie asks, go to our first question of the day straight in. Judy goes, have you read the new metrics definition from Google Ads? What are your thoughts? Nava goes, yes, and I feel like there is a lot of overreacting. Ads have always been able to serve below organic, and this is just Google documenting it more clearly. My issue is with her saying Google documenting it more clearly. It couldn't be more fuzzy if they tried. I keep reading that sentence and thinking, no, this is not you defining things clearly. This is you defining things very not clearly for me. That is definitely my stance. Melissa McKee goes, yes, felt like nothing at first, but now I am worried there's a huge change just over the horizon waiting for the other shoe to drop. Julie goes, I tweeted about this. This is kind of bewildering. They take the time to send out an email hailing these updated definitions, but then say nothing has changed when people ask about it, right? So what is it? Change or no change? Nava goes, prominence is useful for us to use in helping clients understand the mechanics of the SERP. Dwayne Brown goes, it honestly feels like they are trying to realign it with the reality that is SERP is a personalized experience. SERP is no longer the static layout we all grew up with. An engineer wrote it so it sounds way confusing to the average person. Thank you for admitting that, Dwayne. Thank you. I absolutely agree with that. Melissa goes, yeah, to Nava, going, yeah, to Nava's point, ads have always been able to show below organic and used to even show at the bottom of page one. Now that there's no bottom of page one, it makes sense to clarify. Yes, that's it. If you just keep clicking, it just keeps updating. You don't need to go to page two or three or four anymore. It just dynamically adds more results as you keep scrolling. River Minkoff goes, I don't feel like it's that big of a change, but agree with Melissa McKee that it feels like waiting for the other shoe to drop. And I was like, yeah, prominence still doesn't yet make sense to me. It doesn't. It's like, yeah, an engineer wrote that definition and I'm not sure about it. Julie said, I asked the AI bot in Google Ads documentation to explain prominence yesterday. And Julie goes, yeah. And the response from the bot was, certainly ad prominence influences how visible your ads are on the search results page. And it's measured by using click-through rate, ad position and ad formats can affect the CTR, which influences prominence. Is there anything else I can help you with? So yes, just basically the definition in a more summarized way. Again, what is an ad copy without ad format? That is the one bit that confuses me. And then we have Julia Weiss responding, saying that I think it's just bringing the advice in line with reality. But of course, Google News right before GML can sometimes suggest things to come. And then Julia said to me, saying, total guess on my part, but I think it's a way of admitting that top page can't make sense in a personalized privacy first environment. And Nava goes as well, saying it's an estimate of visibility, given that not everyone will opt into tracking. It's the best guess to align if you're meeting awareness click to conversion ratios. Robert Brady goes, I can think of some other terms that need updated since they don't reflect reality. Cough, exact match, cough. Julie as well said, yeah, I also think that modifying of top of page and absolute top of page is to allow room for ads to be put in all kinds of layouts. We haven't even scratched the surface of what they want to do with SGE and AI in search results. This gives lots of leeway. And Nava goes, honestly, I'm thrilled about all these improvements. Hopefully they empower folks to use the organic reports as well, right? Google is owning, they can't give you concrete numbers anymore. James Vobodo goes, yeah, I've moved away from top versus other positioning in Google Ads in recent years. Our conversions all revolve around impression share. And Julie then goes, yeah, I think it will be interesting relative to bidding on impression share. These placements are now squishier in what they actually were when a searcher saw them. Jawad responds in, I asked the ads liaison account, so that's Ginny Marvin, twice, but couldn't make sense of what they replied. Then I just gave up, waiting for an article or YouTube video to fully make sense of it. And I was actually thinking it would be nice if the paid search pros, I forget their names off the top of my head right now, but the paid search pros YouTube channel, they're very good at doing this, you know, short explanations, short videos as to what's going on in paid search. So maybe we might want to check that out. Julie goes, I'm looking forward to watching the Marketing O'Clock podcast this week because I know this will be covered and I will be laughing. And then, yeah, I know Greg Finn is going to nail that one this week. And Greg put a hands up to reaction to my message. Dougar Thomas goes, yeah. James Vobodo goes, yeah. I think while position is the 1.5, number 1.5 factor in CTR, it's way past the time that we're all bidding to position one. Adam Gorecki responds saying, curious who or how many people are position bidding still? And Reefer Minkoff goes, yeah, but how are you supposed to tell your clients that Google can't give them concrete numbers, right? Julie goes, there could be new ad types coming too with SGE and such. I'm already not clear how or where LSAs fit into these definitions. As I said, I think the updates give Google more room to put things different places and changes what the top ad is based on the makeup of the SERP shown. Melissa goes, agree with James. We usually focus on impression share. Only in rare cases do we worry about position bidding. James Webber goes, yeah, to Dougar Thomas, 100%. Top versus other is still relevant for us for understanding CTR and click performance, but not as much for other conversations and decisions. River Minkoff goes, I gave up on position bidding when Google Ads got rid of showing average position. Jawad goes, I couldn't make sense of why top ads can now appear below organic. Then what exactly is top about them, right? That's a very good question. And I couldn't make sense of your reply in this regard, but later I found out, and correct me if I'm wrong, that it means top ads can appear below organic, but they will still be top ads because no other ads would appear on the SERP above them. Right. That's a very good distinction. How is a top ad if it's shown below organic? That can't be top at all. And Julian Philip goes, adds another metric into the confusionist of the thingy we're doing here. Has anyone heard about ad depth? So ad depth, a Google rep brought it up with me in Feb. Both the rep and I were both confused about it, right? A Google rep goes, you should check out this metric. Actually, I'm not sure how it works. I'm not sure what it's going to do for you. But yeah, sure, check out this metric. Julia Vice goes, yeah, to River Minkoff. This is the tough one. Google has billed itself as the data people for so long. Luckily, many of us have already built relationships with our clients based on our understanding of their needs and Google's capabilities. So hopefully they're open to it. Ginny goes, yes, that's correct, Jawad. Top ads are still the topmost ads in the results and in the ad results, even if they're below organic. Adam Gorek responds saying, can someone give me a sense or use case or example of a conversation with these metrics or the former? I feel conversation or conversion. I feel that Google should spend more time fixing GA4 instead of changing semantics of definitions. P.S. Aren't the new definitions closer to what they were a decade ago? Anyone remember? No. Nava goes, I kind of would like us to talk a bit about budgets and what budgets we need to make Google and other networks work. This is the moving goalpost I'm most bothered by. Namely, it seems more budgets is needed elsewhere, everywhere. Yeah, if CPCs have been increasing as Google has been doing and has admitted to be doing in the lawsuits hearings that is going on, then yeah, if the CPCs are increasing, our budgets will need to increase. Julie goes, yeah, everything digital advertising needs more budget. It's a mature advertising ecosystem. No more bargains to be had at this juncture, at least not on well-established platforms. River Minkoff goes, we've luckily still been able to find success without increasing budgets, but the platforms are going to keep pushing for more to make more money. Doug says, yeah, I mean, I think a lot of us were brought up in the more data interpreted as more metrics in practice is better world, or one highly influenced by it. I've done this rant before, so I'll not do it again in full, but I think the key part of the post big data world is that the metrics we used were not the right ones. And then Julie takes us on to question two, asking, do you think these changes in definitions are paving the way for anything in particular, or is this just Google being Google? No, Google's not just being Google. Julie advice goes, I certainly do think so, but for once, I don't actually have a guess as to what it is. Maybe no more match types. Everything is broad and generative, or conversational search means all placements are meaningless. Nava goes, I think it's helping brands get used to estimates versus exact numbers also. That organic won't always be below paid. No, they won't always be below paid. Now we're saying organic then paid, they're organic then paid even. Adam Gorecki responds saying that there's fewer positions in CTV or AR or VR. That seems like the next frontier. Julian Phillip goes, yes, someone said something about new ad formats and the ever-changing nature of the SERP brought about by SGE. I think it's spot on. I think we're about to get new ad formats, but still with less control and less certainty surrounding metric definitions. Melissa McKee goes, yeah, I definitely think it's to make room for SGE changes in the SERP. As to anything else, who knows? Julia as well says, yeah, I agree with Nava about leaning into the model data for everything. Google and other platforms too are losing data. So even where your ad showed is going to have to be more estimated than reported. And by reported, I mean what we have traditionally been used to, where traffic and positions, etc., were fully visible and data was all available for viewing. Robert Brady goes, they want more room to test stuff and the old definitions were limiting them. That's how it feels to me. Doug R. Thomas goes, yeah, it reads to me, and I've been accused of being too short-sighted and buying into PR, just as clarification. Adam Gorecki goes, breaking, Google removes all campaigns types besides PMax, right? Melissa goes, shh, to Adam. Doug goes, yeah, digital marketers in general like to read tea leaves. Sometimes your tea bag just had a hole in it, right? Nava goes, I also hope that folks don't neglect shifting metrics on other platforms. Google had news, but so did Meta, inflated numbers, and Microsoft doing away with manual CPC. Doing away with manual CPC altogether. Lord. Adam goes, yeah, just trust us, they say. Why am I so cynical today? Yeah, Melissa goes, yeah, I'm cynical every day. Ned Lewis goes, yeah, some of it is logical, i.e. the first page is gone from SERP. Doug R. Thomas goes to Nava going, this is where I think we should be looking with metrics. Facebook's been awful about going, oopsie whoopsie, our metrics had an error in measurement. Sorry about that, data from the past 3 years. And Julie goes, I also think if you read the GML preview from the new heads of Google Ads, it is clear that AI is not slowing down, and a push in the coming year will be to tell Google a few things and let Google Ads do the rest. I will find the link and share it. And yeah, Julie does share it at the end of the chat, and I'll share it in the show notes as well. Nava goes to Doug saying, I'm absolutely furious about that. Lying in data to get more revenue is disgusting and borderline criminal. Yeah, that's why there's loads of legal hearings going on right now. Julie goes to Nava, there's a class action lawsuit over the Meta line about reach. Not surprised. Adam Gorecki goes, yeah, I feel we are being torn in two, privacy regulations equals to less data, and two, AI proliferation and ubiquity needs more data. I haven't quite figured out how the future will look with these two behemoths ducking it out, but I'll let you know when I do. Nava goes, the timing of AI absolutely stubbed its toe on people waking up to privacy rights. Julia Weiss goes to Adam, welcome to a public sector digital comms. It's great to have you here in terms of all his, I'm being, why am I cynical today? Julian Phillips goes, yeah, to Nava, hard to argue with 3 billion MAU users. Julia Weiss goes to Julian saying, and regulatory bodies run by prehistoric humans. I'm not saying they can't understand it. I'm saying they don't. And Nava goes, so going back to the original question, Google is being Google, but in the new era way. They're giving us the heads up to start working on our reporting conversations. Yeah, Julian goes, prehistoric humans. And Julia Weiss goes, so my intern sent me an internet. And now, can you eliminate Finsta? I think she's trying to, you know, give an example of what prehistoric humans talk like. And to Julian Philips Navel goes, but how many are engaged? Meta is not going away and hasn't lost its relevance. But if the ethics of the company don't jive with you, there are other homes for the budget. Dwayne Brown goes, don't know, worry about what if it happens. And then before we go on to question three, Julie gives us a little bit of a background where Nate Lewis on Twitter had said, like, there's a tweet that started the whole your ad strength is a problem for your ads to run discussion from Nate Lewis. And basically it was Nate going, new Google search campaign will ads no longer show if they have low ad strength. And that's from an alert he shows his soul saying, yeah, your ads is ready to run ads when an issue might limit its performance. And so there's a stage of creating campaign policy review impression, and you know, and it says that he's has low ad strength and then clicks upcoming. So yeah, you might have issue with your ad showing if there's low ad strength. And how do they measure the ad strength is a mystery. There's a little bit, well, three paragraphs that Jeannie Marvin shared, so it's a very in-depth response that I'm going to put on the that we're going to show links to those that response in our show notes as well, so look out for that on there as well. So yeah, we're talking about ad strength and problems with ads showing. So with that as the background, we go on to question three. Now that you have seen the warning that seems to say that ad strength might impact your ad's ability to serve, and Ginny's response saying nothing has actually changed, what are your thoughts or concerns on this front? Julia Vice as well starts us off saying, yeah, this gives me cold sweats. Do you know how much Gov likes to pin assets and how long the volume is on some of their searches? This is going to be a mess for public sector and probably B2B as well. River Minkoff goes, I've been ignoring it. I see more warnings, but stuff is still generally serving, and I look at it as a quality score issue when they aren't. Adam Gorecki responds saying, yeah, as discussed in the previous thread, Google will be generating all the content in the near future, so this won't matter. It's just a way to incentivize the use of Google's automation products, or rather disincentivize not using them. James Verbodo goes, yeah, I'm not really thinking anything has changed. If your ad is not or less relevant to queries, other ads do and should get the impression. Julia Vice goes, yeah, I find my learning phase getting longer and longer for Gov, not all the way not serving yet. Julia as well says, yeah, I find this very concerning on two fronts. One, less experienced people will see this and read it that they must do what Google ads say to get their ad strength up or their ads will not run. If that is not actually true, then this reads very wrong and super easy to take that from the language and where it occurs. Nate saw in setup process. Two, it feels shadier after the whole shake the cushions testimony, even if it actually isn't, the perception that Google would throw its weight around to make people do things a certain way that may not benefit the advertiser is not a good look, in my honest opinion. Julian Phillips as well saying, yeah, I've seen a mixed bag where some ads serving and others not serving. It's hard to be sure what to think when the outcome so wildly varies. Nava Hopkins goes, yeah, I have several thoughts. Google needs to own that everyone is inclined to believe the worst. So when they make a design change, they need to put a disclaimer that nothing is actually changing. But why the alert then? Anyway, number two, she says ad strength is a healthier indicator. Should you worship it? No. Should you pay attention to it and any shifts in impressions? Yes. If ad strength becomes a weighted metric in ranking, I think 90% of us would be fine. The outliers would be folks who outright ignore what Google has said we should do and do in ad copy theory, as well as folks who are lazy copywriters. Julia Vice goes, yeah, the spirit of your comment is right, and that's to James Verbodo, but I have real concerns about how Google interprets relevance. I don't think it's advanced enough to accurately determine relevance yet. Melissa goes, yeah, Google still does not understand B2B queries. And to Ginny Marvin, Julie goes, yeah, it would be helpful to remove what Lewis saw then, which reads like a big old warning if ad strength truly does not matter. River Minkoff goes, yeah, to Adam going, yeah, but the problem is that the AI still doesn't understand many queries and websites and agrees that B2B suffers a lot in this. Dwayne Brown goes, yeah, so ad strength is like quality score then, both just diagnostic tool in the end. And Adam goes, yeah, ad strength seems dumb to me because it wants you to do more. It wants you to add more assets, but unless you have more budgets, not all the assets get enough data to reach significance in a reasonable time period, and at that point, Google is just guessing. In my honest opinion, the strength of the ad should be measured by how well your ad assets are being analyzed by Google AI, not how many assets you've given AI to test. And to Julie, Jeannie goes, yeah, yes, feedback has been shared with the team. And just to reiterate, this is a UI experiment for diagnostics insight. Nothing has changed with ad strength. It's a diagnostic tool and not used in the auction. James Verbode responds to Julia Weiss and Duane saying, so the diagnostic tool Google provides are not always the tool you need, right? Julia Weiss goes, yes, I'd say so. Nava Hopkins goes, yeah, to Ginny. Hence my point that it would be cool if Google could anticipate the panic, right? We are panic easy in the PPC world. Let's put it that way. James Roberto goes to Julia Weiss, that's how I look at these tools anyway. Dwayne Brown goes, yeah, it can be one tool you use, but that doesn't mean you don't have other tools. I never look at quality score anymore, but that is just our agency point of view on it. Julie goes, yeah, for what it's worth, I also think it's a better communication path isn't necessarily nothing is changing, because it is, even if that change is nuanced. A better messaging strategy would be Google Ads is evolving to better meet searchers' needs and effectively leverage emerging AI capabilities. We're excited about the possibilities for both advertisers and searchers to find each other more easily and explain the shifts in definitions, etc. Throughout this type of lens, it would go over better. Julia Weiss goes, yeah, when discussing ad creation with the standard boards, we of course talk about various tools used, but Google's tools tend to break through in terms of what is needed and how things are measured. As usual, it comes back to a comms problem. James Roberto goes, yeah, my comment was rather rhetorical. We've been around long enough to understand that a raw data point doesn't tell the full tale. Though newer people may misconstrue quality score and ad strength for something other than they really are. Nate Lewis goes, yeah, I feel like there was a recent change that made it harder to get new search campaigns launched. It's almost as if you have to bid on broader terms to start to get some historical data. After you get some traction, Google will allow you to whittle down the keywords. Right now, the campaign I mentioned feels like it is stuck. It has dash for quality score on all keywords, so not even any stated quality score, plus all of the other stuff I had mentioned. And to Nate Lewis, Julie goes, yeah, all the terms start with that for quality score. That have been that way for a while. Ages ago, everything started with a quality score of 6 and moved up or down from there. At some point, quite a number of years ago now, Google changed that to start with the dash and then fill in a number when it had enough data. And on to our final question of the chat, of this very lively chat, we have Julie going, how do you think goalposts are being moved relative to Google Ads right now, in your opinion and experience? And what, if anything, would you love to see changed on that front? Dwayne Brown goes, yeah, not being able to sort active items in GMC when you have an advanced account and are looking at dozens and dozens of sub-accounts makes no sense. You can sort by pending, expired, and disapproved SKUs, but not active. Make it make sense. Not our topic today, but I wish little things got fixed. That would go a long way. Nava goes, we live in a paradoxically frustrating time of needing more data, but also not having data due to privacy. My biggest concern is that niche B2B and SMBs will get left behind. Yeah. Julie goes, I do think B2B and small businesses are being left behind. Nearly all of the changes in how Google Ads works or the parts it really wants advertisers on just are not easily or effective used by businesses with low conversion volume. Couple that with across the platform data loss and news is not great for small businesses and lots of B2B businesses. I hope more is coming for them that we just don't know about yet. Adam goes, pardon the rashness, but the only goalpost that Google cares about now is this in terms of investor earnings. So that's abc.xyz/investor/earnings. They are caught in the privacy of AI struggle, which is why most of the changes are ethereal instead of tangible, because I don't think Google knows how it's all going to shake out, which is fair. Yeah, Robert goes, what Nava said. Nava goes, in terms of how to fix it, sources of truth needs to be protected. We all need to be comfortable sharing conversion data with our marketing channels, or we need to be comfortable with our campaign suffering from lack of data. River Minkoff goes, trust the AI doesn't work for companies when the AI isn't accurate for their industries and or they don't have the budget or patience to make it through the grueling learning period without results. Julie goes, yeah, at Ad, we need to get our clients and stakeholders comfortable with lack of hard data. We have sold the core of PPC as we have the data since it began. That is a lot to unravel and reroute. River Minkoff goes, Google can't force companies to depend on AI when the AI is not compliant or dependable. And she continues, and there also needs to be an alternative narrative put forward. What happens instead? Why advertise on Google when Google's core was transparency and now that's gone? Was Google's core ever transparency? I don't know. I just think we thought we were being told everything when we actually probably weren't at all in from the beginning even. Adam Gorecki goes, yeah, hey all, let's just be happy that Google is making updates. Facebook doesn't do anything to their platform. Julia Weiss goes, yeah, there's that. At least Google is trying to talk to us. And then Adam goes, look, ultimately, I'm not afraid of AI. I'm just afraid of the AI I'm forced or expected to use and wasn't trained on the same goals that I have. No, I don't want to upgrade to broad match when I only have less than 10% impression share on my exact match keywords, right? James Verbota goes to Adam and Julia Weiss going, Facebook ads seems like it's a middle-aged divorced guy who's just given up and is sitting on the porch complaining about taxes and fake news. Nate Lewis goes, I worry that Google is taking into account for niche based businesses, i.e. a countertop fabricator is not the same as a countertop installer. Adam goes, in my opinion, this sort of documents are helpful and that there's a link to support Google support article. We're talking about the ABCs of account structure. So yeah, we'll be sharing that as well. And he continues, but really basically and admittedly, I think most of us have been doing these things for years already. What I'd like to see from Google is better explanations of how the AI system work and not just what they do and less black boxing. Nick Lewis goes, garbage disposal company is not a plumber or a dumpster rental company, etc. Julie goes, yeah, Google ads struggles with knowing those types of differences. And I think it is going to have to get better on that front because businesses who care about their spend will not want to spend on things that are clearly irrelevant for their businesses. That also hinges on advertisers still being able to see that kind of data though. If Performance Max becomes the only campaign type and or regular campaigns show data like PMax does, then none of us will ever know if the AI gets any better understanding these differences. And that is troubling for a lot of advertisers. Adam goes, bingo. And Julie continues, I will add that part of Google Ads' fundamental problems from an advertiser and PPC pro perspective is that the audience of advertisers that they talk to are not representative of most advertisers. In other words, large brands that have dedicated teams at Google Ads that work with them do not have the same concerns or even experience with Google Ads that advertisers anywhere below that tier do. And Google is a publicly traded company, so their first, second, and third priorities are to keep their stock price stable and show growth after quarter. What they need to do is not always what average advertisers want or need. Adam Gorecki goes, closing thoughts, and that is the last comment on this chat. Privacy regulations are affecting AI and even Google doesn't know where it lands. Google Ads is being shittified, and there's shittification even. No, that's a new word. Despite or because of record profits, Google understands how AI works, but not why it works. They're getting rid of exact match. I can just feel it. So yeah, those are some interesting final thoughts from Adam and some interesting predictions. And thankfully, yeah, there was no other thing to share, apart from the fact that, yeah, Julie does share a link about the next era of digital marketing, Think with Google. So that's in terms of Google's official digital marketing publication, sharing about what they're going to be talking about at the next Google Marketing Live, which is happening on the May 21st, I believe. So yeah, make sure you don't miss that. So yeah, that brings us to the end of our chat. Hope you found that very useful. Yeah, that flew by. Loads of chats about what's going on in the world and how it's going to change from the new definitions, even though Google keeps saying nothing is changing as they update new changes. I don't get it. Are you as confused as I am? If you are and you want to be a bit more demystified, join us on Thursday. That'll be tomorrow by the time you're listening to this, or maybe yesterday if you're listening to this on Friday or later on. And yeah, we're going to be having the audio chat on Twitter Spaces. Yes, we're back on Twitter Spaces with those conversations on Thursdays at 5 p.m. GMT. So yeah, just get on there, join Neptune Moon, follow her, or just check her profile to see the link to it so that you can join that conversation. And yeah, before I leave, I just wanted to have a few mentions of, like, hope you've taken some great takeaways. If any feedback about the podcast, get in touch with me on LinkedIn. Just find me on by searching for @TheMarketingAnu, or just search for my name, Anu Adegbola. And we also have the PPC Chat Roundup group. It'd be great for any longstanding members or brand new listeners who have listened for more than 30 seconds to leave a rating or review for the podcast, whether it's on Spotify or Apple or Podchaser, whichever one. Just go to linktree.com/PPCChat_roundup to be able to do that. It will take seconds for some of the things, some of the platforms that do it actually. And before our final close off, please remember that there is the PPC Live next event happening on April 24th. That's going to be a Wednesday this time. That's happening the day before Brighton SCO. And yeah, it's going to be a great networking party that we're going to have. The usual three amazing speakers, pizzas, drinks, and everything. Early bird tickets end end of Friday. Well, if you're listening to this on Friday, yes, today, but it ends on Friday, so that'll be the 5th of April. So yes, that's the early bird tickets are coming to an end. But yeah, you don't want to miss out on Julian Modiano, Alan Hosenbauer, and Nick Grant talking about a variety of talking about data as the foundation, powering AI and PPC, and how to use data and feed the data in properly, how retail brands are wasting thousands on Google Shopping ads, and how to grow low volume search accounts. We've been talking on this chat about how B2B might really suffer, small brands might really suffer. So you want to come and hear Nikki's talk about how if you're managing a small brand, you can keep up. So just go to ppcliveuk.com to get your early bird tickets so that you can join us in just a few weeks now. Really, it's not going to be long at all. Finally, remember, for your campaigns and businesses to glide smoothly, there's a lot of hard work needed beneath the surface. So keep your swans kicking. Bye, and speak to you next week.